Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Good to be with you. It's good to continue to be with you. We're broadcasting live, continuing to broadcast live, wrapping it up today, though. We're still broadcasting live from the Administaff Small Business Classic here in Woodlands, Texas, hard by to Houston, and having a great time this week. And we've had a wonderful time this week, but we're looking forward to going back to our regular environs. Notice I didn't use the word normal. We never use that word around here. Nothing normal. Nothing. There's nothing normal about anything that we do around here. But be back to regular next week. But we got some pretty exciting stuff right now for you. We got our good friend Grace Marie Turner back on the show. Grace Marie is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. Could not do without her. Ladies and gentlemen, she's one of the world's experts on healthcare public policy. And this is a debate that's going on around the world, but nowhere is it going on more heatedly than it is here in the United States. And as you heard me say at the top of the hour, this is one of the top four or five most important issues, most important things at stake right now in this current election. And as you know, folks, Grace Marie is the president of the Galen Institute, which is a think tank organization that focuses on these things. Grace Marie Turner, welcome back to the show.
It is always such a pleasure to be with you, Jim. Good morning.
It's good to have you back, as always, Grace Marie. By the way, folks, Grace Marie hits a pretty darn good golf ball herself.
I'm learning, but I have a long way to go to be able to meet Jim. You're really great.
Well, we had a wonderful time. Actually, got together a couple of months ago and played a little golf together, and she hits the ball pretty darn good for somebody who's only been playing for a year. Grace Marie, but you're kind of like me, Grace Marie. We shouldn't give up our day jobs.
That's right. I'm actually, right now, I'm at a conference in Kiowa Island, South Carolina, and it's got a beautiful golf course right overlooking the ocean. I'm looking at a sunrise right now. It's one of those rare places where you can watch the sunrise and the sunset looking out over the ocean. It's quite amazing.
I know. Well, that's a beautiful part of the world. I've always wanted to go play that golf course. Grace Marie, you heard me say that this year there are many issues. There really are a handful of issues that are at stake right now. We've got security, the national security, that's at stake. That's an issue that's being debated right now. We've got the economy, the overall economy. We've got how the philosophy of how much government should be and should stay involved in the marketplace in our capitalistic economy. And, of course, healthcare, the environment, you know, et cetera. There are a handful of really momentous issues. But to me, long term, you know, other than security, healthcare has got to be right up there on top.
Well, and certainly every survey you do, especially of small businesses, healthcare has been for decades at the top of their list of the biggest problems that they need to solve. And it's increasingly not just the top priority of small business, but also of large businesses, too. I was, before I got here to Charleston, I gave a speech in Phoenix a day and a half ago talking to major, you know, Fortune 100 company executives about health and wellness and productivity and what they can do to really use the health benefits they're offering as leverage to truly create a healthier and more productive workforce. And I have to tell you, even though this has been a huge issue in the presidential debate, maybe we can talk about some of those ads and correct the record on them, but I have to tell you, I worry that the government getting more involved in this one-sixth of our economy that is represented by health care is not going to solve the problems, but further meddle. And the kinds of innovations that are coming out, not only with employers trying to organize their health benefits in a way that's most efficient, but also in physicians and doctors and hospitals, the kinds of things that they're doing to provide innovative care. Government doesn't respect innovation. It respects following the rules. And the kind of what we need is more innovation in our health sector, not less. But there
more competition.
That's exactly right. And some of the proposals that are out there would actually leave us much less of both.
Now, Grace Marie, in the interest of full disclosure, you are an advisor to the McCain campaign on healthcare.
I am, and truly a volunteer advisor in my day job, obviously running the Galen Institute, where we worry about health policy kind of nonstop. But I'm an advisor. I've been doing a lot of surrogate speaking on my own time for the McCain campaign.
Hold on to that thought, Grace Marie. Folks, we'll come back. I'm going to get Grace Marie to compare and contrast the two proposals, and I'll try to take the other side the best I can. Right up to these messages, 20 till the hour. Jim Blessing, again. Stay with me. Right back. Bye, Chris Spring.
Life goes on day after day.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. Little Jerry, the pacemaker, is bringing us back. I'm Jim Blessing, game, the small business advocate. This is with our good friend Grace Marie Turner. She's the president of the Galen Institute. Grace Marie, give us your website and tell us a little bit about Galen.
I'd love for people to visit us at Galen, GALEN.org. And we have redesigned our website so that we have blogging capability and people write back to us. And I've hired a new director of communications. And you got to hire young people these days who's doing a lot of Twitter and Facebook and trying to get us involved in that whole social networking world, because you're right, Jim, which for your earlier guest, you know, we've got to, if we're going to continue to communicate with this new generation, we've got to be involved in the new media.
That's exactly right. There's no question about that. Grace Marie, let's, in the debate, this is the last debate, the health care issue came up quite a bit. And now I want to, in the interest of full disclosure for myself, folks, I want you to know that, and if you've been listening to my show very long, you know this, I personally believe that the solution to better health care coverage, more affordable coverage for everybody, but especially small business owners, is for the marketplace to take care of it and for there to be portability. Now, and I believe that about a decade before I ever heard of anybody named Barack Obama. So this is something that I've known about and felt about for a long time. So, but Grace Marie, let's see if we can put the two proposals on the table and see what happens. You go ahead and take Mr. McCain, Senator McCain's position. Tell us what he proposes.
Well, and I too have been working on free market ideas for the last 15 years, and I see Senator McCain's proposal as really offering us a 21st century solution to health care. He is saying that we've got to give people more portability of health insurance. 4 in 10 workers change jobs every year. We've got to give them new choices, new options of ways to buy coverage. 45 million people don't have health insurance. We've got to change the way we subsidize health insurance to give them more options. And many millions of people are having trouble getting health insurance because of pre-existing conditions, and they're worried about that. So we've got to solve that. Those are the three main pillars of Senator McCain's proposal. We've got to provide new subsidies and provide them more fairly. We've got to give people more options in where they purchase health insurance. And we've got to take care of people who are vulnerable. And we can do this by energizing private sector forces. And what he wants to do is give everybody across the board all a $5,000 family refundable tax credit for people to purchase health insurance. And this isn't new money. This is basically money, moving money around, making one of the biggest tax subsidies in the tax code right now that's invisible, making it visible and making it portable. As long as employees get their health insurance.
That's the corporate healthcare deduction, right?
Well, see, and that's really the important part. There's so much misinformation coming out in this campaign. On the there are two different tax breaks that protect health insurance from being taxed. On the employer side, it's not taxed because it's a regular cost of doing business. That stays the same under the McCain plan. So employers stay whole, and they are going to continue to deduct the compensation they pay their employees, whether they call it health benefits, other kinds of insurance, child care, or cash wages. So it's deductible for the employer. Nothing changed for the employers. They stay whole. On the employee side, they're getting an invisible exclusion from their income of the amount of money that their employer is spending on their health insurance. Section 106 of the tax code says that's not going to be taxed as long as your employer writes the check. That's worth $200 billion a year. People don't even know they get it. And basically, Senator McCain's saying, not only is it regressive, we're subsidizing people at the high end of the income scale at the most generously, but people who are struggling, starting new businesses, working for sometimes two jobs, aren't getting anything. They make too much to qualify for public programs like Medicaid. They don't have the good higher-paying jobs that come with health insurance. So let's give everybody the same thing. And then when you see all these ads that say, oh my goodness, it's going to be the biggest tax increase in history. Absolutely, I can't tell you how not true that is.
But Grace, let me ask you a question. Is he going to tax benefits that we get from our employers?
And he's going to make that part of the compensation visible, and in exchange, you get a bigger tax break than you get
instead of a tax credit. He is going to tax the $200 million that used to be invisible, as you say. Now he's going to make it visible, and it's going to be taxed. But at the same moment that you're being taxed on that, if you're getting those benefits, you're going to get a tax credit to offset that tax.
And more than offset, in every income bracket, if you've got a $12,000 family policy, you come out ahead and way ahead. If you're in the lowest income tax bracket, you know, if you're 10-15%, you got a $12,000 policy, you're paying just a little bit, you're getting a little bit of tax benefit. Now everybody gets the same $5,000, and it's portable so that you don't have to have it associated with the job if that's not working for you.
And that is a 21st century solution. Folks, if you look at the way people are employed today, and these are irrefutable facts, folks. You look around you, and those of you who have, you know, older folks who have children who are in their 20s and 30s, you know how many different jobs they're going to have in their lives. And so it's not hard to see the portability issue, how important that is. Hold on to that thought. We're going to take a quick break. Right back with Grace Marie Turner. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Grace Marie is with Again on this. We're back at 7 till. There's a late James Brown, the Godfather of Soul, brings us back. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website's a Small Business Advocate. .com and askjim.biz. I hope you use those to your advantage. We built them for you. No barriers to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you come in, hang out with us, and use our stuff. We're visiting with our good friend Grace Marie Turner. She just gave us a rendition of the McCain healthcare proposal, the Obama proposal. Grace Marie, he says that you can keep what you have. If you have whatever you have right now, you can keep that just fine. But where does it go from there, Grace Marie? What's the rest of his proposal?
Well, his has a very different vision. He believes that the thing that's wrong with our health sector is that it just doesn't have enough government involvement and oversight. And in fact, a lot of people, I've got a new paper out on our website, and several of my colleagues do as well, looking at this new, several of the provisions. There will be a mandate on employers to offer health insurance. There'll be a mandate on families to get
health insurance. Including small business owners.
Yes, including small business owners. And he's offering some subsidies for small business owners, but according to the analyses of how much money he says he's going to spend, and this was before the financial meltdown, it would only apply to businesses with fewer than 10 people. And everybody above that is going to be required to pay a percentage of payroll for health insurance. And the government mm-hmm. tells you what the policy has to cover.
And see, here's what the problem is with that. That actually makes people make a conscious decision not to go above 10 employees.
Yeah, unfortunately, that will be.
I see that in the marketplace because it's the same effect as the Family Leave Act. I forgot what it's called, but that applies to people with 50 employees or more. I know people who are consciously keeping their employees at 49.
Yeah, I know. It's the same thing as, you know, the welfare cliff. You know, if you make a few more dollars, yeah. then you lose welfare benefits. It can work the same way with tax subsidies. But this one of the things that really does concern me that we will not, I mean, you can't keep the coverage you've got because the government is telling you what that coverage has to be. All insurance companies are going to be much more heavily regulated than they are now. And
yeah.
the government is going to create a new national government plan that would have government price controls, government taxing authority, government policing authority that would quickly, I think, really crowd out private health insurance from the market. And then we would be left with only this new government plan, which will have, I believe, I mean, it's a side door to me to a government-run healthcare system in which the government is deciding what the benefit's going to be. It's going to pay doctors and hospitals at Medicare rates, but certainly below market. And I think we would find that we had a significant problem with our healthcare system in access and quality because we simply don't have. I mean, doctors are already saying they can't take
right.
any new Medicare patients.
And you know, there actually is a good analogy that we've been experiencing lately. If you want the government running your healthcare, just remember who was overseeing Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.
Well, and in fact, one of the speakers here yesterday said that he sees that there will be a kind of a subprime mortgage pressure, that health insurance companies are going to be forced to offer health insurance even if people wait till they're sick to buy the policies. So
yeah.
you're going to wind up with a health insurance market with only sick people in it. And that's like saying you're going to have a mortgage market only with people who can't pay the mortgages. You can't
yeah.
have a private structural, sustainable health insurance market.
Folks, the reason that the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac failed and we got into all this, a lot of trouble that we're in right now, is because members of Congress, some of them, but really in some degree on both sides of the aisle, did not hold Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac accountable for best practices.
Well, not
only
that, they forced
yeah.
banks to make these subprime mortgages from people who
yeah.
were paying nothing down, high interest rates, completely
no income.
In order to sell the mortgages.
Yeah.
That's the kind of situation that
you could have in a healthcare program that's being run by the government. And I don't think that's a good idea.
That kind of political interference absolutely suffocates the kind of innovation that we see taking place right now that's allowing employers to be creative and companies like Aetna that is helping even smaller employers have some
right.
of the kind of same benefits of a large employer.
Yeah. Grace Marie, give us your website one more time, please.
I'd love for people to visit us. And we have a paper really outlining the presidential candidate's health care proposals at galen.org. Take a look.
Thank you, Grace Marie, for being here. Good job. It's always
Thanks,
a pleasure.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you.
See you next time. Grace Marie Turner, ladies and gentlemen. It's just great to know her. And I always get a lot out of everything that she says when she talks about health care. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, broadcasting live from the Administaff Small Business Classic in Woodlands, Texas.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.